Amen. You guys ready for the word? Well, today we're going to do part two of what Pastor Nick began on last week. We're in a five-part series entitled Breakthrough to Blessing. Somebody say breakthrough to blessing. And last week, Pastor Nick shared with you guys about the household salvation, that one of the promises of God is that he will not only save you, but he will save your house. He talked about evangelism, time, talent, and treasure, how to spend your time effectively, how to spend your talents effectively, and how to spend your treasures effectively. T3. Somebody say T3. Amen. He talked to you guys last week about the widow woman with the oil and how if she had a vessel, she had all. Somebody say, if I got a vessel, I got all. If there's a person in front of you, you have somebody to pour into. Somebody say amen. Amen. In this season, listen, God was speaking to me something today. We in the word already. God was speaking to me something this morning. I got up and I had to email someone, and while I was emailing, the Lord said, go to your Facebook page. I said, oh. By the way, thank you, ushers. You can be seated. Y'all are making me nervous. Amen. The Lord said, go to your Facebook page. So I went to my Facebook page. He said, how many friends you got on here? I said, 408. That's a lot of people. A lot of people, you know, 408 people. Man, if we had a church of 408, anyway. But now, make a long story short, I have 408 friends. The Lord said, how many of these 408 are effective relationships? I said, I don't know. The Lord said, go through these 408 and start deleting people that are not effective. I only got like halfway through the alphabet. I said alphabet. Oh, Lord. I only got about halfway through the alphabet, and I had deleted from 408 down to 283. Somebody said, that's a lot of dead weight. Hidden message for you right there. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, in this season, drop the dead weight. That's some good preaching right there. Because what happens is, in this season, you don't have time for people that are not effective. Amen. Amen. Y'all quiet. Must be hitting home. I finally have discovered when y'all get quiet, I got you thinking. So I like when you go to thinking. Let's talk. Let me be the professor of life from the kingdom, and let me be the professor that teaches you life in the kingdom. And one thing about a professor, he don't deal with your emotions. He deals with your gray matter. Somebody say amen. Sister Lewis, you're a teacher, right? Do you teach? Do you connect with your students emotionally? No. But what you do, you talk to their mind. You have to teach them those type of things. Amen. So today, I'm your professor in the classroom of life. And I'm going to teach you today. I'm going to talk to your mind about some things, because some things you're needing God to do, guess what? You have the power to do. You have to make the decision. Such as a man. Wait, I've been preaching that for 3 weeks. I ain't going to let that thing go. Such as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So something, it don't say such as God thinketh about a man. It says, but as a man thinketh in his own heart, so is he. So look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you are the sum total of your thoughts. If you broke, it's because you think broke. If you're sick, it's because you think sick. If you bound up, it's because you think bound up. If you a pervert, it's because you think pervertedly. If you a wine drinker, it's because you think with a spirit of addiction. If you, whatever you are that because you think yourself into that. God and Zion. So now, if I can just get you to change and make your mind up. Somebody said, make your mind up. If you can just make your mind up about some things, if you can just make a decision about some things, you won't need God to do it, because just you making decision will do everything you need to do. I finally realized a long time ago, we in the church are religious. We do a lot of praying with very little action. You ain't got to say amen. I know it's right. So now we pray and 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 pray. God, don't let me eat the eclairs Eclairs. Eclairs. Don't let me eat the eclairs that I bought and put in the ice box and hid from myself. First thing, you can't hide nothing from yourself because you know where you put it, and it's somewhere in your mind where you put it. So now when you're tempted to eat them eclairs, you go down on your knees and you pray, God, don't let me. I'm trying to lose some weight, so don't let me eat the eclairs in my icebox. I may be a diabetic. I don't need them. But whatever your issue is, it doesn't matter. The fact is, you're shooting yourself in the foot, always asking God to help you do something you just don't need to do by making a decision. See, now you done bought the eclairs and put them in the refrigerator because you knew there was going to come a time your flesh was going to want them.
That's right. That's right.
Uh-oh, who's thinking now? So now you knew that you was going to want it. I'm going to get a sugar craving and the chocolate on top of that eclair with that Bavarian cream on the inside. Good God from Zion. That's the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I want it for sure. And what happened is you don't realize that what you need to do is make the decision not to stop by the donut shop. Not ask God to teach you not to eat eclairs. Lord, I need you to deliver me from this alcohol. Mm-mm. You don't need God to deliver you. You need to make a decision. Amen. I'm not drinking that no more. Amen. God, I need you to deliver me from these cigarettes or these cancer sticks, as I call them. You don't need to deliver you from cigarettes. What do you need to do? Make a decision to save your money. Things are almost $40 a card now. I saw it in the store the other day. So I was like, good God, who would want to smoke? Shoot, $40 don't even fill the gas tank up no more. Not one of my vehicles anyway. Oh, God. So, I mean, who, this we've done in life, we have continued to invest in our habits rather than invest in ourselves. Good teaching, Apostle. Thank you. And what we've done is, because we've so invested in our habits, we have lost ourselves in our habits. Somebody say, prove it. Amen. So now people know you by your addictions. They know you by your habits. If you're an alcoholic, why do they call you an alcoholic? Because you have a habit of buying alcohol and consuming alcohol. You're not an alcoholic because they called you that. You're not an alcoholic because they called you an alcoholic. You're an alcoholic because your habits told them what you would be. Uh-oh. If you're a whoremonger, you're not a whoremonger because somebody called you one. You're a whoremonger because your actions prove you to be one. If you're a fornicator, guess what? You're a fornicator not because of what somebody else said or thought about you, but you're that because you choose to indulge in those things. There's nothing worse in the body of Christ. I got to deal with the spirit because I felt that spirit right that fast. Because the devil don't want me to tell you the truth. But, you know, the devil want us to be churchy, Chayoth. He want us to have our robes on and our three-piece suits and our dresses with our hats on. And you know what? You don't need all of that if you can't get the thing inside your chest right. If you can't get your heart right, it don't do you no good to have a robe on. It don't do you no good to wear a three-piece suit. It don't do you no good to put on a skirt and a blouse. Why? Because God's not after all of that anyway. He's after your heart. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, somebody said, with that being said, what we've done in life is we have now began to lose ourselves in matters of the heart, where now we want to blame. I'm an alcoholic because my daddy was one. It's inherited. No, it's not. You have a choice to succumb to that spirit or not. Believe it or not, Breakthrough to Blessing Part 2 is freedom and deliverance. So, you know, that we're in the right vein still. So now, with these things being said, if you will make your mind up to follow after your prayers. I said something to the young man yesterday. I asked him, I said, if you died in the next 5 minutes, where would you spend eternity? He said, in hell. I said, why are you so sure? He said, because of decisions that I've made. I could respect that young man. Somebody asked me why. Because that young man took responsibility for his own decisions and knew his destination. I said, then you are like a person driving a car headed in the wrong direction. Once you become aware of it, what do you need to do? Stop the car and turn around. I said, boy, I just preached repentance.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's repentance right there. It wasn't nothing to do with a prayer. It was a decision. I'm stopping the car of life. I'm putting it in reverse. I'm backing it up. I'm putting it back in drive, and I'm going the other direction. Why? Because I've taken a look. I've analyzed some things. I've looked over some things in my life, and I come to the realization I am headed for the wrong destiny. So what do you do when you're headed in the wrong direction? You turn around. Now, that wasn't churchy, but it was sure a good scripture, because somebody said, what must we do after their heart was pricked? And somebody said, repent. One word has a powerful meaning, because what you don't realize is that now you're saved. Uh-oh, now let's deal with it. Now that you're saved, you got issues. And here's what the Spirit didn't want me to tell you. That Spirit that came in, this is what he didn't want me to tell you. There's no worse feeling than to be in the house of God, sitting there with guilt on your mind. I feel like preaching. I felt the anointing fall on me. There's no more painful of a feeling than to be sitting underneath the anointing and feel like God don't want to touch you because of what you just, Lord in heaven, what you just finished doing. There's no greater pain. There's no greater agony of the spirit and of the soul than the desire and encounter with God and be in his house and cannot get into his presence because of what we're so eat up on the inside about. My two at one time have sat in his house bound by my own prison of guilt. Somebody say a psychological prison. Because when you know the word, the prison is worse. Because when you know the word, the prison is worse. Because now you got to now because you know the word, you feel more guilty. Because not only did you know to do better, you had the weapon to fight better. Amen. But somebody said, get me free today, Apostle. I'm going to do that very thing if you let me. I'm going to do that very thing if you let me. Because I told you, y'all may not believe. How many feel bored right now? Nobody feel bored. To praise Jesus. How many got your attention right now? Hold your hands up. I want to see whose attention I got. Okay, I see your head over there. Amen. He holding the camera. Now watch this. Watch this. Somebody say, watch this. Ooh, I feel the anointing so strong, my hands and joints are shaking. When I touched Sister Pumpkin, I feel that. Did you feel something on that last pat? I'm just wondering, because my hand fell out, fire all in. I was like, good God from Zion. Okay, now watch this, Mother. What we've done in church is we've taken people to the place of getting them saved. But what we call deliverance is not deliverance at all. So now what we do is, I need a little, come here, Deno. Now what we do is we take you, get on your knees. We get you to the altar. We tell you to call on Jesus. Call on him. Call Jesus. Call him like you want him. Call him like you mean it. Jesus. Call him. Jesus. Call him. Jesus. Call him. Jesus. You saved. Get up. You saved now. Wow. Okay. Watch my analogy for a minute. We get them to a place where power is at, and we tell them, get up, they're saved. Then what do we watch? This is what we do. Then they go out of the church. They know something happened. That camera ain't doing no good. I ain't nowhere near in front of it. Somebody's supposed to be watching it, turning it and stuff. So now we go out of the church and we know something happened inside of us. How many feel the anointing with me right now? Something happened. So now we go out and because something just happened to us, we're confused for a moment. Because now we got to get back and recalibrate ourselves to life. Because life don't stop on the altar, it begins. And what we've done with people, we've left them on the altar long enough to get saved. And when they walk out the church doors, we think everything should be what? All right. They should be perfect now. Oh, they spoke in tongues. They got the Holy Ghost. Now everything going to be all right because they got the Holy Ghost. You've been saved 40 years and still don't know Jesus. You think they learn him in one moment? So Dino walks outside and he, don't walk outside, Lily. Don't do it, Lily. So he walks out of the church doors and his drinking buddies, God forbid, and I rebuke the devil, his drinking buddies say, come on, come get a cold one with us. So Dino, without having a knowledge that something's got to follow after calling on Jesus, Hiroshima and all that fun stuff. You know, something's got to happen after the Holy Ghost. He goes, gets him a cold one. Then, I'll just say Mother Gaddis. And then Mother Gaddis drives by and she sees Dino with his cold one in his hand. And guess what she does? She don't say nothing to him right then. She just prays for him. Now Dino come back to church. Turn around, walk. Okay. So next time he walks in the doors of the church, I know you don't do this, but I'm gonna use this as an example. This would, now you know, you should not, I saw you out there drinking that beer. You should not have been out there drinking that beer. And what we do is we crush the spirit. Now I'm taking you to the pastor. So now he come to me. Mother Gaddis, Pastor Rocky, I saw Dino right after he got up there and got the Holy Ghost and got saved. I saw him drinking a beer. And then me as the pastor, this is what I do. Now, we don't believe in that. That's not holy. That's of the devil. We need to get that demon out of you. How many have been through experiences like that in your life? Lift your hands and tell the truth. So now Dino walks out the pastor's office thinking he got a devil. Go get back on drum stool now. So guess what he does? He leaves the church. Because guess what? Religion could not help him. So then, he says, well, if I'm going to go to hell, if I got a devil, I might as well do it big. I might as well go buy a club. I might as well go buy a bar. I might as well go ahead and do it big. Shoot, I'm going to go out with all guns blazing if I'm going to go. Let me go out the right way. And unfortunately, this is what we've done in the church. Somebody say amen. So, now, somebody say, I want to be free from that. But I feel the anointing so strong. Look at my hands. I want to be free from that. I want to be delivered from feeling like every time I mess up with God, that he hates me and he takes his love away and he takes his grace away and he takes the anointing. Look at God. He takes the anointing off my life. I'm tired of feeling like every time I sin that God now is a God of anger and he's a God of wrath. My Bible declares that he loved me even when I was yet a sinner. And if God can love you when you was a sinner, baby, he can love you after you have sinned. And after you have Shato Rata Rabba Roshaba Shandaboko Sata, after you've done been to the nail pierced hands, I feel the anointing. After you done got on your knees at a place called Calvary, and you got up and you sinned, there is still a God that can love you through your sin, through your guilt, through your pain. No matter how bad it was, he is bigger and better than it. He's bigger and badder than it. And when we stop throwing people away that have sinned and fallen short of God's grace, we'll find the church. We'll find the real church. I need a Gatorade out of the back, please. And so now the reason why pastors throw you away, and the reason why the older saints that have been saved forever, the reason why they write you off, and the reason why they talk about you, and the reason why they label you, and the reason why they put you down, is because what they don't realize is that you now need to be taught how to be delivered. Somebody say amen. So now that I've laid my foundation, let us open the word. If you have your Bibles this morning, go to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Say amen. Stand for the reading of the word. The Bible says in verse 8, English Standard Version, it says, once when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servants, saying, at such and such place shall be my camp. But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel. Somebody say, the man of God. Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there. And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him. Thus he used to warn him so that he saved himself the more than once or twice. Now what I really read right there was that the king of Israel was plotting and planning attacks against the king of Assyria. I must be hungry. Against the king of Syria. And in plotting and planning these attacks against the king of Syria, the man of God would say, don't go that way. Don't set up stronghold there, because they've already set an ambush for you. And the Bible said he didn't just do this once, but did it more than once or twice. And the mind of the king of Syria, somebody said the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel? Show me the traitor. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Somebody say, nothing is hid from God. And he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and seize him. It was told him, behold, he is in Dothan. So he sent their horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Your enemy has you surrounded. Somebody said, the devil has me surrounded. They surrounded the city, and when the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? He said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You don't have to turn there, but in your reading, let me say, Exodus 14 and 13 says, and Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see never again. You may be seated at the reading of the word. Freedom and deliverance belong to you. Somebody say amen. Satan knows that once you know the truth will make you free, according to John 8 and 32. So now, if John 8 and 32 says that once I know the truth and the truth will set me free, then the thing that I need to be free is not preaching, but what? Truth. Believers today are living in bondage. Can you believe that the church has people in it living in bondage? But just like Israel was delivered from Pharaoh, you have been delivered from Satan. Therefore, no shackle or stronghold has the power to hold you captive. Can I tell you, you don't have to be an alcoholic forever. You don't have to be a fornicator forever. You don't have to be a drug addict forever. You don't have to be sick forever. You don't have to be a prostitute forever. You don't have to be an adulterer forever. You don't have to do these things forever, because there is delivering power available to you through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with that being said, the first thing we must realize is the types of bondages that we have. There's three types of bondages. Somebody say three types. There's physical bondages, there's mental bondages, and there's spiritual bondages. Physical bondages, things such as addictions and habits. That's where the church gets hung up with people, when they have physical strongholds. There's mental bondages, such as fear. That's a bondage. Depression. Guilt, anger, false feelings of security. These are bondages. Rejections, abandonments, lonelinesses. These are mental bondages. And spiritual bondages are things such as idolatry and witchcraft and false doctrine, false teaching, false prophetic movements, false apostolic movements. These are spiritual bondages. But I can say to you, just like Jesus said in Luke 4:18, he said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. The word oppressed denotes people that have been given full freedom but walk around in chains. You can be delivered today and walk in freedom. But Apostle, how can I be delivered? How many want to know how to be delivered? Ask God to show you the spirit world. Elisha was surrounded by the armies of Syria but had no sense of fear. His faith enabled him to see the mountain full of horses and chariots of fire. These are the supernatural forces that are at your disposal. The horses and the chariots of fire had angels. Somebody say amen. Amen. You have the ability to release angels on your behalf. You have the ability through the power of your words to legislate change in your mind. Every day you should get up and say, I rebuke and I annihilate every psychological trigger that would cause me to operate in the spirit of addiction and habits. And I stand firm in my deliverance. Somebody say amen. People don't know that unseen forces are bringing confusion. They're bringing strife. They're bringing bondage into their lives. You must understand that and trust that God's forces are far superior to anything Satan can do. I don't know what type of church we have now that is scared of the devil. I don't know what type of body of Christ that we have now, but I miss the church of old that stood in the power of the Holy Ghost and looked the devil square in the eye and let the devil know that, baby, you came in one way, but according to the word, you must flee seven, because I stand in the power of God. I wish somebody in here knew what it was like to confront the adversary head on. Because see, you must realize that you, when you stand in the Holy Ghost, you don't stand by yourself, but your Bible declares that we have a great host, a cloud of witnesses. I promise you there's something happening in the spirit in this place. There's a host of witnesses around us. Wherever you go, the kingdom goes with you. So now we need the church back again.
Amen.
That had power. And I don't mean just power to shout and fall out and speak in tongues, but I mean power that could go down on their knees. And by the time they finished whooping the devil in prayer, when they stood up, there was an answer from the heavenlies. I miss that type of power. See, I miss people that interceded until they could see in the spirit. They may not have even read their Bible, but because they knew God by prayer, hallelujah, because they knew God by prayer, they would get up off their knees, and when they got up off their knees, they had been and traveled somewhere in the spirit and done saw something that happened in the Bible and didn't even know it was in the book, but could open their mouth with power and could decree what was in the book, and they would preach flat-footed until people ran to the altar. Why? Because they got they could see in the spirit. It is imperative that you see in the spirit. It is imperative that you have a knowledge of what's going on in the spirit around you. Your greatest weapon is not in your hand. It's in your mouth. Elisha, without even lifting a finger, struck the army blind and led them into the capital city as prisoners of war. When they came up the mountain, he called down fire. Fire consumed them. The second battalion come up the mountain, he called down fire. The fire consumed them. Finally, he got tired of calling down fire, and he just spoke blindness on the whole army. And then with his word, led a blind army into the city. They walked, God in heaven, they walked right into the stronghold. Good God. They walked right into the place that they were attacking. And now they're there, and the king said, what do I do with them? And Elijah said, give them something to eat. Now see, that's a principle of the Bible. The Bible said that you can feed your enemies. So now the king fed his enemies. I'm talking about people that have an understanding that I do not have to stand and holler at you, devil. I don't have to stand and slap you and spit on you. I don't got to swing nothing at you, but my word alone has enough power to rebuke the devil. Somebody say amen. Amen. Always remember that your weapons are not physical, but are spiritual. And the greatest weapon you have is the blood, the name, and the word. Because the blood, the name, and the word will get it done, baby. The blood redeemed you, the name purchased you, and the word keeps you. So now every time y'all missed the revelation. So now what you need when you confront the devil, you need the name, the blood, and the word. I plead the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I live in the name of Jesus, and I stand right by the word of God. Then the second thing you need to do, you need to ask God to show you that the devil is already defeated. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. We fight from victory to victory because the devil is already defeated. Colossians 2:15 declared that he stripped every principality and power of their power. You're not fighting the devil no more. The devil don't even got any power. You're fighting, oh Lord, you're fighting the evil within you. Hallelujah. That's why. Ain't no more rebuking the devil. Stop rebuking the devil. Go ahead and start rebuking yourself. Hallelujah. It's the evil within you that you got to fight now, because the devil ain't got power unless you give it to him. My Bible declares that he's under my feet. So if he's under my feet, if he's in my face, I must have let him off the chain. If he's under my feet, supposed to be under my feet, him in my face, I must have let him off his chain, because his leash is supposed to be at my feet. Oh, God, you're missing what I'm telling you. You have victory already. You are not trying to get victory over the devil. The devil ain't got no power. You got to shut up. You, by having the Holy Ghost alone, have all the power you need. Because now, with the devil, whenever the devil want to do something, you need to check yourself. You need to find where you need to rebuke yourself. Because, see, now, if God will ever give you the revelation that
that your enemy is fighting with a toothpick. You think he's a giant with a spear, but he's a midget with a toothpick. If you'll ever come to the realization that this thing is smaller than you, that you can whoop this thing with your eyes closed, hallelujah, you can love again, you can trust again, you can live again, you can enjoy life again. Why? Because you got the power of heaven on your side.
Bible said in that day we're going to look and say, this little thing caused us all this trouble. The devil ain't big and bad. He's little and smart though. Can you imagine walking around with a midget always fussing in your ear? See what the devil, see the reason why you can't, he ain't Goliath with a, he ain't 13 foot tall with a javelin and a spear. He's a midget with a toothpick. But his greatest weapon is your greatest weapon, his words. Because if he can ever get his words in your spirit, if you cannot discern that they're his words, they will wreck your life. That's why you got to know the word. That's why the word is what you need to know. Because if you know the word, you can discern his words. And if you can discern his words, then you can live your life. Because the only best way to live your life is to live your life by his word. So if you know the word of God, you can live the life of God. But if you can discern the word of the adversary, you'll stop living your life contrary to the word of God. He is a deceiver. His name, Satan, means the accuser of the brethren, but he's also called a deceiver. He has come to steal, kill, and to destroy life from you. And he does this by first injecting a thought. Then, after he injects a thought, he gets you to talk like him. God don't love me. God don't want me. God hates me. Then after, I bless you, Holy Ghost. I'm gonna tell you a story in just a minute. Then after he gets you to talk like him, then he turns around and lays the poison in the apple. And whenever you take bite of the apple, all of a sudden your life is forever wrecked until you come back in contact with the power of God. I read a story not long ago about a man who died, and he was a good man. He was a pimp. Watch my story. He was a pimp, and his pimp went to heaven, and he was standing before the gates, and the angel said to him, said, God said, because you was a good man, even though I know this is not biblical, it's just an analogy. Somebody say, just an analogy. He said, God said, because you're a good man, he's going to let you spend a day in hell. He's going to let you spend a day in heaven. So the man, the first day he takes, he goes on the elevator, go down to hell. He spent a day in hell. He gets there, man, they're having a big party in his honor. Man, the devil done painted the city pretty, done made it, throw the big feast. They were barbecuing, playing spades, playing dominoes. All the, they were drinking. They were doing all this stuff at the place. And the guy was there, and he was having himself a good old time. Such a good time, he didn't realize his day was up. So the angel come and took him on to heaven. And so he floated around on the clouds and rolled around with a few angels and played the harp a little bit. Then the angel said to him, he hung out with some of the apostles. Man, I would love to have been him. But anyway, he hung out with some of the apostles. One day I will be. But he hung out with some of the apostles. And when he hung out with the apostles, the angel come got him and said, okay, now it's time for you to make your decision. Do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell? He said, well, I can't even lie. You know, heaven is nice. It's pretty. It's, you know, I enjoyed the angel rides. I enjoyed playing the harp. It was fun talking to the apostles, but I had more fun in hell. So the angel said, so is that your decision? He said, my choice is to spend eternity in hell, because hell just was a blast. Hell was fun. So he rides his elevator back down to hell. And rides the elevator back down to hell. Satan walks up and greets him. Hey, brother. But he turns around and looks, and now hell looks like a desolate place. And all the people that he was partying with yesterday, skin and clothes are all falling apart. And he can smell the fire from the brimstone and the fire from the flames and all of these things. And his friends that were in hell were picking up trash and were getting beat by demons. And the man looked at Satan and said, hey, what's this? This isn't what it was like yesterday. He said, yesterday we was recruiting you. Today we're putting you to work. Ain't that just like the devil to paint an illusion, paint a picture in your mind? He paints a pretty picture with a lot of fabulous words. But what we don't realize is that on the other side of that picture, on the other side of that deceit, on the other side of all of those things, guess what's there? Hell. In the reality of who it is and what it is. Hell is waiting for that delusion. That's why you must understand that the devil is already defeated. And when you have that realization and when you know the word of God, the devil ain't nothing the devil can do that will mess with you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Ask God to show you that Satan's already defeated. In 2 Kings 7, 3 through 7, you read about four lepers that were sitting outside the city. And the four lepers sitting outside the city went to the city they were sitting outside the city and there was a famine in the land. And the lepers, they had a realization that the army was gone. So they got up and they said, let's go over here. If we go over there, they're going to kill us. If we go over there, they're going to kill us. They ain't got no food and they got plenty of food. Let's just might as well go them try to get something to eat. So the lepers got up and they went. And the Bible said that as they were coming to the city, that the Lord made the feet of the lepers to sound like an army coming. And the armies left the tents with all the food, all the silver, all the gold, all the weapons of war, all of those things. But see, here's the reality. Whenever Hoshanda, ba-ba-ba-ba, see, the city was living in a deception. God had already chased the enemy away from them, yet they were living in ignorance of that fact. Because you remember, when I say the city, I mean Israel. When the lepers went back to the king, they thought that the lepers had been hired by the Assyrians to come and to set an ambush for them. So the king now was living in a deception and living in ignorance of the fact that the lepers knew that the enemy was gone. You have to get a revelation that Satan is defeated. On the cross and at the resurrection, Christ spoiled principalities and powers. He stripped them, the Bible says in the message, he stripped all of the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. In other words, whenever Shando Hoshadabaha, when we sang that this morning, death could not hold you down. We don't realize that that word, that little sentence right there, holds all the power of our faith. Because it is because of the fact that Jesus Christ was resurrected on the third day. Make it whatever day you want to call it, but it's the third day. The fact that Jesus Christ was resurrected on the third day is the auspices of our authority and power. Power in the earth. If he would have remained in the grave, if he would have stayed dead, then the church would have never had any power. But because he got up out of the grave, the Bible declared that he rose with healing in his wings. I'm here to tell you today that everything you are, everything you will be, everything you have the faith to do, you will do based on the resurrected power of the living God. When you get a realization that when Jesus comes up out of the grave, he put a whooping on the devil and on every legion of the enemy. He put such a whooping on the devil that he put him, the Bible said he brought him to open shame. He brought him to open defeat. The devil in the realm of the spirit is standing butt naked with no weapons. He ain't got no power. He ain't got no armor. You got all the power. You got all the armor. Somebody needs to get on your feet and take your spiritual authority back and tell the devil, you're defeated over my life. You ain't got no power over my life. I stand in the victory. Hallelujah. 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 I stand in the victory. Y'all, good God from heaven. Then the last thing you got to do, which is the most important thing, you got to ask God to show you how to walk in your deliverance. Somebody say amen. The king did not know how to receive spiritual freedom, so the prophet helped him, putting his hands over the king's hands. Now we're talking from 2 Kings chapter number 13, where the man of God now is about to die. So the king of Israel is summoned for him, and he's telling the king, shoot out arrows. And so he put a prophetic covering over the king. He laid his hands on the same hands of the king. He stood behind the king and reached around him and laid his hands on his hands and helped him shoot the arrows. Somebody say amen. Amen. Sometimes you need that prophetic atta. You need that prophetic covering. You need that covering that when you cannot figure it out, has the discernment to figure it out for you. Somebody say amen. This is a picture of deliverance. Someone else can set you free, but you must know how to stay free. I can lay hands on you. I can lay hands on you and cast the devil as far away from you as you want him to go. But if you don't find out how to live free, if you don't make up in your mind, I'm tired of living this way, I'm living different. It don't do me no good to cast the devil away. You can have your seats. Amen. The prophet also told the king to not only take the arrows and strike the ground with them. The king did, and he stopped after striking the arrows only 3 times. And the prophet told him he should not have stopped so soon because the enemy would have been destroyed. Here's the revelation. You got to come to the understanding that just because it's tight in the beginning and just because the fight is hard in the beginning, that does not mean that the fight will always be hard. You've got to stay in the fight of your life. Somebody say the fight of your life. You got to be able to stand and say, God, I know it's tight, and I know that right now I'm having all these mixed emotions and feelings in the spirit, and all of these feeling, all these been feeling guilty and being put and feeling put down and feeling left out and dropped away and all these things. I know I'm having all these feelings, but I know at the end of this fight there is a blessing. You remember that the angel, when he wrestled with Jacob, he said, I must let you go for the day breaketh. In other words, I'm here to let you know that everything that you will have to go through in deliverance has a set time. Whenever the angel will see the break of day, you know he'll tell you it's almost time. But what I learned was this: in the latter part of the fight was the most intense part, because now Jacob is fighting with his hip out of socket. Good God from Zion. I come to let you know, you may be in pain while you're in the fight, and it may hurt whenever God goes to bring in some deliverance to you. And you may have to let some friends go, and you may have to let some things go for a little while. Somebody say, let me go get myself together and I'll come back and get you. Because what you got to realize is that God will separate you to deal with you, then bring you back. That's why you can't take everybody when you're still weak. You got to go through the deliverance first. You got to go through the deliverance first, then go back and deliver people. Moses had to get out of Egypt for 40 years before he was strong enough to go back and face Egypt. You got to realize that you got to get away from the thing that's holding you. You got to let some things go for a while. Get away from it. Be on the backside of the desert somewhere. Let the hand of God deliver you, and then when God has delivered you, go back and say, I remember you. Remember me. I remember you. You know what I used to be, and I know what you still do. But I come to tell you, in the name of Jesus, there is hope, there is freedom, there is deliverance, there is deliverance, there is deliverance. You ain't gotta always live like this. You don't gotta be a drug dealer forever. You don't have to be a prostitute forever. You ain't gotta satayata. You ain't gotta do it forever. If God did it for me, he can do it for you. You can't testify about God when you don't know nothing about him. Somebody say amen. Amen. Last point. Your freedom will always be contested. Oh, shut up. When Moses walked back and got in the face of Pharaoh, Pharaoh said, who you think you are? You left here 40 years ago like a coward, and now you want to come back and tell me your God says, let these people who are my slaves go? The devil will always come back to see if you've maintained your deliverance. So once God delivers you, you got to always stay strong. How do I stay strong? Prayer, read your Bible, stay in the fellowship of believers. Somebody say amen. If you relax, the devil will counterattack. For the rest of your life, you must never stop attacking the enemy. This is what it means to walk out your deliverance. Somebody put your hands together for Jesus. So now, So now we've learned some powerful lessons today. Somebody say amen. Amen. We've learned some powerful lessons today. We've learned that deliverance is not just a one-time devil come out, but it is something that you have to, you know, that's why I thank, oh, by the way, well, I'll announce it in a minute. That's why I thank God we're about to launch the Connect groups so people can connect together and be strong together and can pray for each other and encourage each other and stand with each other. That's why I thank God for the Marriage Connect group so marriages don't have to fail in this ministry. Somebody say amen. When the devil says divorce, God will say peace. Why? Because whenever you get in the company of people that are after God like you're after God, guess what will happen? You'll find him. You'll find him. So with that being said, today we need to we've learned and realized that the laying on of hands one time devil come out ain't good enough. Somebody say amen. Now we got to bring it to the place where we have the realization that it's a fight, but we got to fight every day, and we got to live different every day. I told somebody, matter of fact, I told Sister Farron this week, she and I were talking. I said, some things were going real good when you first started on the track, but then one little bitty setback messes all the progress up. Somebody lay hands on your own head. Lay hands on your head. I release the anointing for you to start over. And Jesus, just receive. I release the anointing to start over. What do you mean, Apostle? I release an anointing on you that when things go to jacking up, you can just stop and say, Father, I start over right now. And you can start all back over until you find. Something I learned, if you start over long enough, if you keep starting over, you'll finally figure out how to start it right. Somebody say amen. You can take your hand off your head. And once you receive it, hallelujah, there's the anointing to start over. Apostolic ministries have to learn to build and rebuild, build and rebuild, build and rebuild. Sometimes, you know, First Lady and I talk about this all the time. Sometimes we have to learn to not let one setback stop the whole day. Amen. 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 Sometimes we have to learn, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, I messed that up right there, and then just move forward in our forgiveness. Somebody say amen. Amen. So now with that being said, if you're in need of deliverance today, Frank, go ahead. And there's a song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to a tree. Grace flows down and covers me. Now, today, if you're in need of deliverance in any form or any fashion, I just want you to be real with yourself and real with the Lord and real with me. Just lift your hand. All those with your hand lifted, run to the altar now. When you get to the altar, lift your hands and talk to your God. So, Bobosia, just play something else then. If you can't find that, play something else. Play something else. Hallelujah. Come on, I need music right now. I need music right now. Hallelujah. Come on, open your mouth and talk to your God. Father, in Jesus' name. God, you know us inside. You know us on the outside. There's nothing that we can hide from you. And God, today, you know what we need deliverance from. You know what we need help with. Now, God, I, as an apostle in your church, as an apostle in this house, am going to just simply lay my hands on your people. And God, when I lay my hands on your people, I thank you for instantaneous deliverance. And God, I thank you that the deliverance will be instant. I thank you that right now every demon, Lord, we thank you that the enemy is defeated, that the devil is defeated. And God, right now in Jesus' name, matter of fact, come here, mother, come here, Pastor Nick, come here, First Lady. Take some of this off my head. Move right now. Begin to lay your hands on them in the name of Jesus. Lay your hands on them.
Be delivered, be healed, be set free in Jesus' name. Instant healing, instant deliverance. Every demon's got to go. Every spirit's got to go. Hallelujah. God, we bless you for deliverance right now. We thank you for deliverance right now. We give you praise. We give you glory. We magnify you, Lord. We magnify you for instant deliverances right now. Niando bohosha. Niando bohosha. Ba 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 ba.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we rebuke fear. We rebuke unbelief. We rebuke every habit. We rebuke you. Every addiction, we rebuke you. Every idolatrous spirit, we rebuke you. Every spirit of witchcraft, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus. The blood, the blood, the blood is against you. Every fear of rejection, every spirit of rejection, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of abandonment, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Oh,